Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't think that's a very good attitude.
It's Mike Shope.
You don't think? You don't think? I don't think you should be butting in when I'm talking to my team. You're my assistant, okay? You're supposed to back me up and go get me juice boxes when I tell you. Now go get me a juice box.
You know who you're talking to.
It's the Bulldog.
I'm talking to the juice box guy.
You're crazy.
I'm not crazy. I'm just thirsty.
Why don't you go to hell?
No, you go to hell. While you're there, why don't you grab me a juice box?
I'm no juice box boy, I'll tell you that.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
It's Mike
Shope
and the Bulldog. On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Did we ever have Vanessa Williams on? Or did I just chat with her like on the field and online but never on the show?
No, we didn't. No, we.
Was she ever on the show?
I think we had her on the show. I feel like I had interaction with her. Yeah, I feel like we had her on the show.
Wow. I don't, but I like that you said that.
Yeah.
But you're also not saying, of course we did.
Yeah.
This is what I asked her.
Yeah.
I don't remember the conversation if we did.
Yeah.
I met her on the field at the Bills.
Right.
And her brother, who was on Curb.
Yeah.
And he had a Lucius Sanford jersey on because growing up, they knew Lucius Sanford. But I don't. And then she sang the anthem that day. I don't think she was on, but maybe.
I seem to remember, I mean, I know all that stuff would have come up regardless of whether she was on the show or not, but I feel like I remember her talking about her family and the Lucius Sanford jersey with us on the air.
Okay. I bet you're right.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. She just tweeted. I'm like, yeah, I haven't thought about Vanessa Williams in a while. Was she ever on? And I couldn't remember.
Don't tell her that. You'd want her, right? I mean, I think we'd want her to.
Maybe she could help us get Al in touch with us.
Right?
Has anybody ever gone through Vanessa Williams to Al Michaels? Joining us now on the West Her Hotline is Chad DeDominicis, great Sabres follow, founder of Expected Buffalo. You can find Chad on Twitter
and noted memorable guest. Sorry, go ahead.
Yes, can Chad get us to Vanessa to get us to Al? I don't know. It's asking a lot for a guy we haven't had on to. We don't know that well, but I admire Chad's work, and this idea was, you know what, let's figure out here, Chad, how well the Sabres are actually doing for who they are. Does that sound like a good question to attack here?
I mean, yeah, that's fair enough to ask, I think, at this point.
Because I've had a pretty, relatively speaking, casual attitude about this team this year. They've been kind of fun, and it's not supposed to be a playoff team and really hasn't played at that level, but, you know, they're around and there have been some good moments, and there certainly are some promising young players. Would you say, though, that Don Granato is, you know, to a reasonable extent, getting the most out of them?
Oh, that's a good question. Yes. I'll say yes. I think, at the end of the day, like, you just kind of laid those things out, right? That this isn't a playoff team. You're supposed to see improvement. And, you know, the key guys are improving. I mean, you have Owen Power, who is arguably, I would say, leading probably the Calder chase with Jake Sanderson right now from Ottawa. You have Jack Quinn who's having a good season. And by the way, Quinn and Power are the top two players, last time I checked, in gold glove replacement for 60 minutes in that model for rookies. So that's pretty impressive. Paterk is playing well. Cousins is taking the next step. Thompson is still Thompson. So, like, your main guy, Samuelson, is still playing well. Your main guys are going, but then there's those things, like Middlestat. But every coach also has those frustrating things, but it's to the point now where how long are we going to let this kind of continue to snowball here to be an issue?
Right. The Middlestat thing is, like, he's the guy on the team that's getting caved in and almost no one else is?
Well, him and Olofsson, yeah. Those two.
Okay.
That's five on five, yeah.
Same line, yeah, right.
Yeah, so yeah, that line, I accidentally, before I came on your show, I was looking up some numbers and accidentally found, I was actually looking at the Cousins line, I was intending to, but found that the Middlestat Olofsson Asplund line is actually the second worst expected goal share line in the league that played at least 60 minutes.
If you're dragging Asplund down, you're struggling.
Right. So, and even worse, defensively, expected goals against, they're the second highest in the league. So, like, you're really mitigating Asplund because that's how bad they have been.
So you want to process that, what is it, like 20 games or so? You want to process that and sort of put it next to what is supposed to happen. What's expected, Chad? How about I use that word? What is supposed to happen here with these players? These are not players you're asking to carry you. But, I mean, am I not right? Like, other things about the Sabres these 10, 11 years have gotten more attention. But how close to the top of the list of reasons why they haven't been better is the bottom of the forward group?
Well, this year is actually pretty significant because if you look at your top two lines, your Cousins line, your Thompson line, they're two of the best lines in the league. Now, the good thing is you have the Oposo and Gergensen's line has found some magic with Tyson Yost there, so that's promising. So right now you have three going right now. But that fourth, I guess you can call them fourth line, third line, whatever you want to call them, the Middlestat line, it's just not working. And yeah, they're only playing 9-10 minutes a night. But like last night's a perfect example. They give up two goals against in those 9 minutes. He put that line out there right after they made a 5-3. They needed to give up that goal to make it 5-4, and just it snowballed from there. So it's like they're not playing much at 5-on-5, but when they do, they're killing you. And even like the bottom pair defensemen, like it's just it's really stark. Look at the numbers, how drastically different this team is when the top four defensemen and the top two lines on the team compared to the bottom pair and the bottom two lines. It's not pretty.
So what do you suppose? I mean, is Granato putting them out there to try to get them right, so to speak? You know, build some confidence? Like, because, you know, they barely had played in that period up to that point, hadn't they?
Yeah, they had one shift in 10 minutes in that period. He knows they weren't playing well. And I can't wrap my head around the logic of putting him out there in that situation when he knows they weren't playing well and he benched them. And then he also talked about after the game how he can't take your foot off the pedal and you can't, you know, give anybody an inch. And like, but like, you did it though. Like, you put that line back out there and actively did it. And they're on the ice for 16 seconds and they gave up a goal.
Well, Mike, I don't, he probably spoke on this, but my guess would be it's a way to be able to say, and actually mean it, but like, you're getting him back and you've got the lead. Your odds of winning are very good, even if your one line is struggling. So then you can sort of walk out of there with a win against Tampa Bay. That's the risk you're taking, of course. But anybody can get scored on. But, you know, you play those odds out in your head. And at the end of the night, I want to have put him back on so that I don't have, what, some issue with him, or just in your own head, you feel like that's probably, there's benefit to that.
I mean, it's, look, Granato has been the type of coach, and it's worked in certain cases where he, you know, he gives guys long rope, and I get that. And there's a benefit to it, and it's worked in certain cases. But we have a player here, and it's, again, it's not only just Middlestat. It's Olofsson, to be part of this conversation, too. Yeah. You have a 24-year-old and a 28-year-old, I think, at Olofsson. Like, these aren't young guys anymore. Like, you don't need to hold hands and, like, try to, like, push them and, there has to be a point we get here, and maybe it's not 20 games, maybe it's 40. I don't know in his mind. But there has to be a point, in my opinion, where we stop coddling players, and there has to be repercussions for not performing well. Like, I just can't continue because it is costing them games, and it's just – when you really could be a team not a playoff team, but maybe you can be in the conversation, but you're going to continue to drop points. You're going to continue to drop games because, like, your lineup just gets crushed when these certain guys aren't on the ice, and it's unfortunate.
This has been for, I don't know, most of the offseason and into the season, Chad, a very interesting conversation to me to be had about Granato and the transition away from play young and loose and free and attack and speed and don't worry about mistakes. We need to find out what you're capable of and all that. And, like, there was definitely time for that, and I'm not saying that time is definitively over because they aren't ready to be a playoff contender probably yet. But at some point you have to transition to the results. You know, the results matter, and you have to, like you're saying, hold people accountable. And I don't know. I mean, we have not seen, I'm not here to tell you Granato can't do that and do it well, but he hasn't really been charged with doing that yet, and it's kind of an unknown how he'll handle a team that has, well, for lack of a better way to put it, any kind of aspirations to do anything besides finish in the bottom third of the league.
Yeah, and it's, like I said, it's frustrating. I mean, you look at a team here, that's top five in expected goals for, or sorry, top 10 in the league in expected goals for. They're ninth, I think, in goals for at 5-on-5. Like, I can't remember the last time the Sabres actually had a competent offense where they could, like, they're fun, they're exciting, they score goals. Like, that's good. It's just, you know, it makes you wonder if maybe you tinker a few things, what could happen if you get hot? Now, we didn't even talk about goaltending yet. That's a whole entirely separate issue that maybe there is no fix for that. But I feel like when there's moves around the outside, and we can even go back to the Dahlin and Power thing that he kind of, when Samuelson was out, it was frustrating to watch because the rest of your pairs would just get destroyed when those guys were not on the ice, and you were actively deciding to have your team be good for like 20 minutes when they played instead of like almost 40. It seems like that. I think that he had some stubbornness, and again, every single coach has these things, but you just want to see some improvements on the outside, some little tinkering. And I can't find the logic of running that line back out there against Detroit when you have Peyton Krebs sitting there. Just even if it's for a game, just put Krebs in and take one of those two guys off and just see what happens. You really can't afford to have things go bad again in another divisional game for you.
Chad DeDominicis. Chad, we got about 5 minutes. So you and I have interacted a few times, and once on the air, I find you to be a valuable resource when it comes to sort of how to read what the Sabres have done in their front office, Sam Ventura and the analytics staff, and it seems like at least overall or generally they're getting respect in this area. How do these kind of decisions, as you see them, if that's how you see it, like, get made? Are we talking about a coach who's responsible for who plays and that's it? Or is there more to it than that, where some of these men that you, I know, I think you look up to and respect the Sabres for having in their front office might be able to sort of see what you're seeing and lead the Sabres to, well, a trade or the kind of player moves we want to see made?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know specifically how the Sabres organization works. I do know from people that I've talked to that have worked for teams in the analytics department that usually, in most cases, the lineup is on the coach. There's communication, obviously, there from the numbers group to the coach, and I'm telling you what's happening. But the lineup itself, you know, is on the coach. I think we see more of the analytics team making an impact with this team specifically from a draft standpoint. They've drafted very well. So look at their three first-round picks from last year. They're actually doing pretty well. So the boys, maybe not doing great, but Kulich looks great in the AHL. Austin's off to a good start down there in Sweden. And then I think from, like, roster moves, I mean, look at Tyson Jost right there. And that's probably something they probably saw in the numbers. So I had to bring him in, give him an opportunity. And so far, it's worked. I mean, we saw some success with Bjork last year, so let's not get ahead of ourselves, but it's working. And, you know, some other moves they've made around the others, like Bushkin, I think, started off the season good. And then he was playing with 1 foot. Now I think he has no feet. So we'll see how that goes when he gets healthy. But, yeah, overall, I think the team, from a roster standpoint, has made some good moves, and that's, I think, where they're impacting things.
You mentioned how good the Cousins, Paterka, Quinn line has been since they got together. And I wonder how much, if at all, their usage will be altered because it's now such a young line. Not that it's vastly different, but we've seen Cousins over the last couple of years, and Granato's talked about it, Chad, You know, his eyes lit up when Coach told him you're getting McDavid, right? We saw him match up with Crosby, back a few weeks ago, and he looks to be a guy that's capable of that. But I wonder with the youth overall whether that will change moving forward.
No, I don't really think so. I think he's already playing in this team with the second line center, right? So I don't think much is going to change there for him. I'll give Granato credit for being willing to put three young players out there that are all 21 years old younger, because most coaches will not do that. So I think he does, you know, deserve credit for doing that. And there was some frustration with the way he was handling Jack Quinn at the beginning of the year, but, you know, that has all worked out. Quinn got a goal, kind of floodgates are open. He's playing well too. So, you know, full marks to Granato for doing that and making that work, because, like I said, most coaches won't. So I think he's confident in his young guys, and that's the nice thing, because you've seen so many years of these young players come up and they get stuck in the fourth line. They play 5 minutes and we're like, why are we even bothering here? So I think Granato does deserve credit for that. I don't think anything will change because of how much he wants to believe in these younger players.
Well, it's 22 games in, and you think about the record, you think about expectations, the overall plan. You know, if they're any kind of close, we're going to want to see moves. At your website, expectedbuffalo.com, you just have an article, I think, up yesterday on how the Sabres have put themselves in a position to make a trade. You want to maybe at the same time promote your site and talk about what your thinking is there to get people to read it?
Yeah, it was yesterday, and then the week before that, I actually wrote about Chychrun, so kind of the two kind of collide here, because that was the main conversation was about. And I think it gets back to the analytics department kind of making an impact and how Adams has approached things. So we've heard for a long time, you know, we're going to build through youth, we're going to build through the draft, and, you know, it's all fully turned out to not work out. Well, in this instance right now, it looks like it's actually working out. I mean, they made 11 draft picks last year. So they've invested a lot in their forward group. If you look at Kulich, Rosin, Jack Quinn, Paterka, Osland, Savoy. I mean, that's just the last 3 years. Those are all first-round picks. Those are Paterka's a second-round pick. But still, they've invested a lot. So if they want to go out and chase Chychrun and make some kind of move using one of those prospects, they're still going to be in a great spot. Let's say you use Osland, for example, in that trade. You're still going to have Kulich, Rosin, Savoy. Oh, and by the way, you have four picks in the next two rounds, in the first two rounds of next year's draft in your pocket. That's before you even do anything else with this roster. So they've put themselves in a really strong position where I think they could even not only take one big swing, but they could take two if they really wanted to. When those big swings are going to happen, as I wrote in the article, I'm not sure, but they have to happen by the time the puck drops next year, at least one of them. Because I think after this season, it has to be a year where you're going to push for the playoffs, because, you know, the patience is only going to go with long people. I think a lot of people understood this in the playoff year, but next year I think it has to be, or at very least, extremely close for people to still believe that this is on track here.
Chad, nice job. Nice to talk to you again. Thanks.
Yeah, anytime, guys. Appreciate it.
Chad DeDominicis, Expected Buffalo. Today is Stephon Diggs' birthday.
And Dane Jackson.
Oh, wow. What are the odds?
I wonder if they're all at Chuck E. Cheese. I wonder.
Diggs is 29 today. Do you remember your 29th birthday? Or what's the closest birthday to that you do remember? Need a day on this one?
Yeah.
Need a day on this one?
29, no way.
No way.
25, I remember, because there was a party and it was in New Haven. 30, I remember because there was a surprise party. 40, there was a surprise party. 50, I got a guitar and I've got a picture of me wearing the hat with these crazy glasses that say 50 on them. So that's hard to forget. 29, nah, nothing. I got nothing on 29.
I also remember 30. I don't know why I would remember 29. Mike Robitaille was at my 30th birthday party.
Nice.
Actually, that's what I remember about that. One thing I remember about that. Happy birthday, Stephon Diggs and Dane Jackson. All right, we talked to Sam Monson today about the Bills, where they stand. What are we seeing here? Are we worried? New England on Thursday night, the Jets with Mike White, and more with Sam. You'll enjoy that, I think. Stay tuned. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.